From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of September, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here from AgMarket.net in Windsor, Illinois, to discuss the cash grain situation, and he'll help us take a look into tomorrow's USDA reports. Those are due out at 11 a.m. Do visit our website at willag.org for all the details there and some of the pre-report estimates as well. And along the way today, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. To that with Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. We'll talk about dry weather conditions in Argentina, Brazil, Russia, Ukraine, and what the update looks like for the Midwest on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today finished 7 1/4 higher at $3.57 1/4. December 3.65 up 4 3/4 in the March at 3.75 up 4 1/4. July corn of next year 3.5 higher at $3.85 1/4 a bushel. Soybeans in the September 5 1/4 higher at $9.85, but the November on out were a bit lower, although they came back at the end of the day. 9.77 1/2 the settlement price in that November contract, down 1 1/4. It was off as much as 9.74 1/4 during the day. January futures at 9.81 1/2, down 1 3/4, and March at 9.80, down 1 1/4. July contract 9.82 1/2, 1 3/4 lower. Bean oil futures down 8 cents at 33.13. The bean meal at 3.11.10, up 20 for the day. Wheat futures in the July contract soft red at $5.62, up 4 1/4, and the hard red July at 4.98 1/2. 2 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures from Chicago October contract 40 cents higher at $105.10 per 100 pounds. And the feeder cattle to the October at 135 higher, finished $139.60 in lean hogs in the October. Up the limit, $3 higher at $64.37 1/2. By the way, the October, December, and February hogs were all limit higher for the day. Energy futures, crude oil down 71 cents a barrel at $37.34. October futures in the ethanol just about unchanged at around $1.30. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 2.5 cents lower at about $1.08 2/10 cents per gallon. And gasoline on the wholesale price, $1.09 6/10 cents, around 2 2/10 cents lower. Natural gas down 8 7/10 cents. The Dow is off around 300 points. The dollar is up 0.05 for the day. And gold futures around $1,950, up $6 for the afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to talk about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us. It was a good day in Chicago for corn. Actually, I think pretty good day technically for corn as well. What did you see on the charts?
Been actually a good 6 weeks, really. I mean, we started this thing in early August, and the market has had a nice run here. Now, we are at a point where a lot of my technical indicators that I follow are dangerously overbought, and then we're starting to enter a time window for those that have been listening to our conversations throughout the year. Is this mid-September? I get a little nervous, and I can, and when I say September 15th, I don't try to necessarily say that's going to be the exact high day. There are always a plus or minus variance factor in this timing stuff, but we're overbought. We're entering some timing windows. The ideal time, if I was going to pick out for corn, something like September 16th through September 30th. So it kind of looks like the second half of September could get a little tricky. And like I said, we're already at the 10th here. So we're starting to be, you know, we're in that early phase of the time window. So depending upon what USDA says tomorrow and how the trade reacts to it, That's going to be really important. What's more important is how the trade reacts to it, I guess. The funds do seem to have a sizable long position in soybeans, probably not as much so in corn, unless today was a sign of them deciding to put some more money on the table, wanting to be long corn going into the report. And then the other thing is, once you get toward the end of the quarter, and September 30th will be the end of the quarter, so you always want to get a little nervous on that. But I like the technical action of both corn and soybeans to move to higher levels, but I'm not too sure they can do it right away. I think there's a vulnerability out here for a period of consolidation and or a technical setback. And then by then, you know, the combines will begin to start rolling fairly active across the Corn Belt, and then we'll be able to begin to verify, you know, whether or not the trade is trading an accurate production number or not. USDA's report is going to help along with that here in September. October is usually a more important report, but anymore, I'm not too sure history says, means anything. So if I was a producer, got a bunch of crop to market, you know, you got to be awful careful in here. This might be, you know, over the next couple of weeks, to look at managing downside price risk with maybe some short dated options type stuff. September, the last 2 weeks of September, is kind of like Niagara Falls. I mean, the downward seasonal pressure the last 2 weeks of September going into the first week or so of October. And that basically means that the combines are starting to roll. We're starting to get hedge pressure, is very, very strong. And if the market can go against that downdraft, then, you know, we got a major counter seasonal rally, and there's the fundamentals are really on the friendly side. Either the crop is much shorter than what the trade is working, and or the demand factor is going to come to life here and be much stronger than what everybody thinks. So I'm a little nervous based upon seasonalities going into the last 2 weeks of September. I also get a little nervous when the funds have a big, big long position going into an end of the quarter type situation. There's always room for profit taking and long profit taking. So I do think the next couple of weeks in here could be selling opportunity and or an opportunity to manage price risk.
Yeah, so as you manage that price risk, to what level? So are you talking getting yourself up to 40 or 45%, 50%, down around 20% sold for corn and soybeans? Where do you think producers might want to put that marker?
When you manage it with puts or options, you know, you can probably be a little heavier than that. And still have upside price opportunity. That's when I want to talk about managing price risk at this point. I would be more inclined to be wanting to use puts. Now, I do know the basis levels in some areas is very, very hot. And when you have hot basis levels and a fairly strong futures market, you really don't want to turn some of those prices down. Farmers know that they need cash flow. Many of them need cash money by December 1st. So I guess if I was going to pick out a number for you, 25%, maybe in the cash market, maybe another 25 to maybe 50%, maybe be managed with options. Here sometime here over the next couple of weeks.
And what are you watching out for that would cause a problem? Anything?
The problem, of course, you know, it depends on, you know, what happens.
What if USDA comes in with a big number tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a big number. They don't reduce the acres that people are planning on. Farmers go to the field and the yields are just off the charts. Everybody's missing it. That is what's scary when you rally into the harvest, basically because we're rallying because of some of weather adversities that started to take hold, you know, August 1st. Okay, now the question did those weather adversities push the crop down to the level that the trade is trading, or is it only halfway down? And that is where you get into trouble. The thing that worries me probably the most, now I think beans are a little different. I think farmers are sold up on new crop beans because they've been a little better, easier sell to digest. I don't think hardly anybody has any new crop corn priced. And that is the scary part, especially if the crop starts coming in a little better than expected. And then for one reason or the other, we get into some geopolitical deal and we start seeing sale cancellations and this kind of stuff. So there's always risk out there, especially in the type of environment that we're in today. This market just doesn't seem to either. I'm getting older and I can't handle it, but it just doesn't seem to be getting any easier the more I watch it, Todd.
No, it's not. Hey, thank you so much. And we'll talk with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenora now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here today.
Great being here, Todd. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to begin today, Mike, in the Southern Hemisphere, where I know you've told us in recent weeks that it's been awfully dry in Argentina. Can you tell me about conditions on the ground today?
Well, it has been drier than normal in Argentina for a while. They did see some decent rainfall last week and a little bit more earlier this week. But if we wait out where it rained by where the crops are grown, you'll notice that some of the key areas missed out on some of that rainfall. So we still need quite a bit more as we move forward. There is not a whole lot on the horizon over the next 10 days. And because of that, we're a little bit concerned that we're not looking at an ideal situation for corn and sunflower planting. That is beginning now, and it will continue over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And if we don't start to see some better rains later this month and in October, then we'll have to start thinking about what that dryness means for crop development. At this point, we're still watching it because we did see a little bit of rain last week. But again, there's not much on the horizon for at least 10 days. And that will create a situation where we need more rain later this month and then into October.
As you go northward across South America, does it continue to be a problem, the dryness that is?
Well, it does once you get outside of Rio Grande do Sul. That state has received some rainfall over the last week, and they'll continue to receive a little bit more going forward. And that includes a little bit of the first crop corn. But as you move north into Santa Catarina, Paraná, and then points to the north, it will stay dry over the next 10 to 14 days. Now, that's pretty typical for the northern half of Brazil's growing belt because they don't move into the rainy season until basically 3 to 4 weeks from now. So that's not all that much of a problem. But in and adjacent Paraná, they should be receiving rains year-round, similar to what we might see in the United States. And the lack of rain over the last 2 to 3 weeks, while not entirely a problem, will become more notable with time because we can see that not much is on the immediate horizon. So that also creates a situation where, yes, we can be planting corn right now, but we're going to need to see a better weather pattern later on, or that's going to be a story that we need to think about. That also is, again, a little bit later into the future before we become worried about it, but it certainly is something that we're watching with rains needed in and near Paraná.
Switching to the Northern Hemisphere, farmers in the Black Sea area, Ukraine and Russia, will be dealing like farmers in the rest of North America with corn harvest and also with wheat seeding this fall. What are conditions like in that part of the world?
Well, we're very concerned about what's been taking place there. It's been a lot drier than normal over the last 60 to 90 days. And more importantly than that, there's no rain on the horizon over the next 10 days or maybe even the next 14 to 20 days. There's just not much in the way of rainfall because a large and very warm upper level high is in place. And so even though the lack of rain at this time of the year is generally favorable for wheat planting, this is not the ideal setup because we eventually need some rain for establishment. Now, one of two things can go wrong later on. Either we don't see the rains later this month or in October, and that leaves us with a weakly established wheat crop across the key export area of the world. The other concern would be if the cold season were to start earlier than normal. Now, they've been way warmer than normal for most of this year, and there's no sign of that letting up at the moment. And even if we go back the last many years, they always have been warmer than normal for whatever reason. So there isn't a real reason to think that we're suddenly going to turn cold in October, but historically that has happened. So we have two things to think about, and we basically need it to stay warm and we need it to rain, or this will become a bigger story with time as we move into the fall.
Here in the United States, what are you watching?
Well, we saw a lot of rain this week in the plains, and that was pretty well timed for hard red winter wheat. It's going to dry out and turn a lot warmer as we move forward, and so that will create a pretty ideal setup for planting of wheat later on next week and into next weekend. In the Corn Belt, we finally saw some rains that have eased drought. The timing of that is the big question. How much did the soybean crop benefit from that rain, which would have been much more beneficial many weeks ago? Well, we still have some more rain on the way for parts of Iowa, Missouri, in nearby areas of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota over the next few days. So it will stay a little bit wet across the western half of the Corn Belt. It will be turning a lot warmer for everybody as we move into the weekend. And then once we get into next week, high temperatures will be back into the 70s and 80s, with lows back into the 50s, maybe even 60s at times. So looking a lot better for early corn harvesting and early soybean harvesting once we get into next week, with again, just a little more rain between now and then in the western areas.
Hey, thanks so much for spending the time with us today. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, great being here. We got through a lot of stuff, and we'll see where we stand next week.
You betcha. That, of course, is Mike Tenera. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Kind of a gray old day today in my part of the world. I don't know, are you getting sunshine there, or are you under gray skies as well?
No, it's kind of overcast here too. I mean, it's kind of foggy here this morning. The same thing kind of yesterday as far as the morning was concerned. Then we turned off really warm and sunny. It was a beautiful afternoon. Looks to me like we're going to have plenty of heat today, but I don't know that the skies are going to clear off. So a lot of guys are chomping at the bit wanting to get something done in here, but really nobody running in my part of the world yet.
No, I made a trip to St. Louis and back yesterday through your part of the world, because from here I made that trip through Effingham and then back across on 70. And there were certainly looked like some beans that could go soon, even some corn in your part of the world that was getting close. How soon do you think it'll be?
Yeah, and so I'm sure you've heard, but a couple of the bigger processors in our part of the world are really, really pushing for corn. You know, they're offering some drying deals, for instance, free drying up to 25%, shrink only. And so we went out and we hand-shelled some corn last couple of days. Can't find anything down under 25% because they don't want it over 25, but tells me a couple things. You know, we're a few days away, first of all. Second of all, you know, they're really hurting for corn. And so it's been interesting to kind of see some of the basis levels across the country. You know, have actually been rather firm, you know, which you wouldn't think that we would be if the USDA is right and that we got 2.2 billion bushels sitting around. But bottom line is, it'd be very interesting to see kind of what the updated numbers look like tomorrow, based upon not only what we just talked about, but of course, you know, some of the production concerns we saw there in August.
Yeah, so up front, why do you think that they're hunting for corn so much at this point? Because you're right, the carryout is big, at least has been all year long.
Well, that's a really good question. But, you know, whenever I look at the spreads, whenever I look at the carry in the market, you know, you've got the carry from Dece to July only at 20 cents. USDA says we're at 2.2 plus, and then we're going to have a 2.7 billion bushel carry out. That 20 cent carry is not anywhere close to full carry in the market. It's not even close to our old full carry in the market. And so, you know, that tells me that maybe something is amiss here. But bottom line, why are they hunting for corn so bad? There's not a lot of corn out there to get your hands on. And so we know producers have been trying to get ready for harvest, getting corn out of the bin. I don't know too many people, if anyone, that's got corn still in the bin yet. So, and if they do, it might be just a blend with some newer corn and ship it. And so it's going to be interesting, not only this report, but the stocks report at the end of the month. I think those are going to be two extremely interesting reports to watch out for.
So let's start with tomorrow. What do you think the numbers will show for yield and carry out?
You know, total production for me is going to be the number one thing. But, you know, we actually dropped our harvested acres a little bit. We ended up putting our yield at 179. And so, you know, I could see us being maybe a little high, but it'd be very interesting to kind of see where they come in at. I know that we're towards the high side of guesses, but, you know, total production in that that ballpark of just a shade under 15 billion bushels, to me, is probably about where I want to sit. For beans, 51.4 is my yield. You know, that actually gets me to a total crop size, around 426. And so that gives me ending stocks at 433. And if that's the case, then there's no doubt that some of this run-up we see in the bean market could be continued. And I think it'd be very interesting to kind of see what they do, not only with your supply, but what are they going to do with demand? Because we know exports are likely going to have to be at least adjusted somewhat.
So rolling all of that into the grain stocks report at the end of the month, and this is the one quarter out of the month where you can actually kind of just do the numbers. What do you think it will look like?
The grain stocks report for me, John, I've got to think that what we saw last year, which was about a 300 million bushel surprise, is very possible again this year. To me, again, spreads and carry, grain marketing 101 tells me that you know, the 20-cent carry from DSAP to July, that we're not sitting on 2.2 billion bushels. Seeing these people push hard for corn doesn't tell me that we're looking at 2.2 billion bushels. So to me, if we come in with a $300 or $400 million bushel surprise at the end of the month, I won't be in the least bit surprised. In fact, I'll be surprised if we don't see at least some sort of a drawdown there. So, you know, obviously that plays into your balance sheet. It can have a lot of implications moving forward. I'm not so sure that September 30th report doesn't carry more weight than what tomorrow does.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Quick note about Commodity Week. Because tomorrow is a USDA report day at 11 o'clock, I will not post Commodity Week to the website until I've recorded it. And that won't happen until after the reports tomorrow. In fact, Matt Bennett's colleague, Bill Biederman, will be one of our panelists, along with Elaine Cubb from ElaineCubb.com and Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing. You can find the Commodity Week program and the Closing Market Report on our website anytime you'd like. Again, not until tomorrow for Commodity Week, but always at willag.org, willag.org, or if you prefer, you can use your favorite podcast applications to search out either program, the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Just put that into the search engine and look inside of, I don't know, Stitcher and SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, to them. However you want to listen to us, we're always available online and on the air from right here at Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.